This Brass Sax Sunday is brought to you with the kind compliments of the Barbados Council for the Disabled. This is the month that we do highlight persons with disabilities. We should be doing it all year round, but this month we put a special emphasis. And of course, this month's theme is Building Back Better for a More Inclusive and Resilient Barbados. We also have Carrie Ann, President of the Barbados Council for the Disabled, on the Zoom, and we'll get to her shortly. But I want us to weigh in on this particular situation I mentioned before the news, and I'll give you the scenario, basically what happened and what my personal experience was. So this is not hearsay. There was a group of individuals, a mother, father, a couple of children, house burnt. One of the things I asked when I was there, of course, you know, we Barbadians, we like to help. And I went and I asked about the online devices. Now, the response from an individual in the area who should know better said to me, the device is burnt, but why bother giving them back devices? Them don't know how to use it. Furthermore, the parents can't even show them either. Now, I seriously took offense to that, because I don't know what them refer to, and I think that in their ignorance, they've assumed that persons with disabilities, in this case mentally challenged, could not operate a device, and assumed that the parents couldn't either. Anybody wants to weigh in on that one? Dr. Rock? Or even the even from the ministry?
I'm smiling kind of when you were talking, Jayan, because we hear that a lot. And the reason I was smiling is usually our students are the best at devices. You know, it's a vehicle that they know, they understand very, very well. If anything, it's trying to dial them back a little bit and encourage them to use the devices for all the appropriate ways and to discover all the ways that devices can be used. But it just goes to the greater ignorance that a lot of people around the world have in terms of persons with special needs, where assumptions are made without any full proof or without anything substantiating it. I think our role, Jayan, will always be to educate. And I'm sure that any discussion that you get into with someone that comes with such sweeping statements, that you use, you know, your charm, but intellect and the information that you have and the knowledge that you have to kind of like school them in the right direction. It's unfortunate that in 2021, we're still having these kinds of discussions when we should really be focusing on, you know, the greater picture. How do we support our students, you know, with all different types of technology, with all different types of media? You know, how can we learn from our students and how can we support our students?
Very well, thank you for that, because I personally was annoyed, but of course, and I responded appropriately, even though I was a little bit upset. And as a parent, we would, because again, we do have to educate people. I can tell you that just this Christmas, I bought Sky. I have it written down here because I can remember that an S7, was it? Yep, an S7 plus 128 gigabyte 12.4 with S Pen. If you see Sky Navigate on her tablet, I mean, okay, she doesn't know everything, but the games and the educational games and swiping and doing this and touching it and her YouTube. And, you know, so I want people out there to know that, yes, children with disabilities can use a computer, and in a lot of cases better than quote-unquote norm. And as parents, we know how to, and if we don't, we learn. Just remember, there are parents out there with children who don't have disabilities that don't know how to use a computer either. So please don't assume because we have a child with a challenge automatically that we are in the similar situation. We do have,
if I may, Diane, if I may, I want to say that is certainly not the Ministry of Education's perspective. As a matter of fact, last year when we embarked on the process of delivering devices to students. The first set of students who got devices for online learning were those students in the vulnerable category. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the Ann Hill School, for example, the principal had done her research and she had requested the other students, I mean, across the system, were getting the Amazon Fires and the, at that time, and the other tablets and so on. And they specifically requested iPads because, having done the research, was found that students with disabilities tended to be able to operate better on the iPad, and the programming and so on the iPads was better for this population. Mm-hmm. And those were the devices that were sought and that were given to those students. Our vulnerable students were the first to be given devices. I also want to say, I remember years ago, a controversial headline in a newspaper after a workshop I had done, because I said at the time, it was completely taken out of context. But the point I was trying to make is that students with disabilities, especially things like ADHD and learning disabilities and so on, tend to work better with the technology. And that point has been proven in this dispensation. It is interesting. And one of the things that we should come out of this whole exercise learning is that all students are different, whether you have a disability or not. I think someone said it earlier, all persons learn differently. And so we have children who do well in the face-to-face environment who have had a real hard time in the online environment. And we've had students who don't do well, who exhibit learning disabilities and don't do that well with faith to space, mm-hmm. but have been able to do phenomenally well using the technology. And so I want to reiterate that that's certainly not the perspective of the Ministry of Education.
But now that we have you here, and we mentioned earlier about the support for parents and teachers when they're feeling a little burnt out, and what does the ministry, or what can the ministry do, or what have you been doing in support of the parents when they feel that, you know, a little overwhelmed in this environment, having to manage their special needs children and this online teaching?
Well, again, one of the things coming out of the response to the pandemic, let me just start with teachers. Teachers, typically the support that is available for them is the same support available for all public sector workers under the Employment Assistance Program through Network Services. Mm-hmm. But in this last year, we have had a number of teachers who have expressed significant concern and who have reached out to the ministry because they're having particular psychosocial and even mental health challenges, trying to grapple with all the dimensions of the pandemic, just like everyone else. As you would imagine, it has to be extremely difficult trying to manage your home, manage your own children, as well as teach in the online environment. And so we have actually expanded what we call our psychological assistance program. And that program, because in student services, we have one psychologist, yours truly, but we do have a program called the psychological assistance program where the ministry pays for private psychologists to see our children. That's what the program is really for. But in this dispensation, we have had to expand to allow for teachers to be seen under the psychological assistance program. Mm-hmm. And we have also started before, but that had kind of lulled, but we have also embarked on providing support for parents through family therapy. Mm-hmm. We have a family therapist who works at the program as well, and he has been providing support to families who have been challenged specifically in this environment. No, please, this is one of is consultants.
But you're saying that you're the only one there,
right?
Student services?
Yes. And so student services is a very small section in the ministry. We have one psychologist and two social workers. But I'm saying that the ministry has a consultancy program where we outsource cases that need additional help. So therapists, we have a family therapist on the program. We have we just embarked with a music therapist. We have other psychologists. We have psychiatrists on the program who we would pay to assist students who are having challenges. That's the what the genesis of the program. That's what it was created for. But within this last year, we have reached out. Teachers have reached out to us, and we have responded to the call. And we have also included outsourcing teachers who needed help, who needed more than the three sessions that Network Services offered, or who needed a more intense kind of intervention that they offered. The ministry has also supported them in that endeavor.
So you're saying you have enough resources to manage what is happening on the ground with the student services, as well as the consultants or people that...
Joanne, there's never enough resources. I'm not saying... There's never enough resources.
Because what I can say, pretty big, so I would imagine you're overwhelmed with...
There's never enough resources. Mm-hmm. I lauded the teachers, but I also
I give you an opportunity. I'm giving you an opportunity to publicly say, listen, we need some more.
Listen, I lauded the teachers, but I also want to laud my colleagues in student services who also have been working significantly hard in this pandemic. Even all through the hours of the night, we have parents who call. There are lots of people who are dealing with anxiety and so on. Parents call and say children are not sleeping. Children, sometimes we need to get up and make referrals to the assessment unit at the psychiatric hospital because people are having, you know, going through some crisis or the other. What I can say in terms of more resources is that we are supposed to be furnished with an additional 7 social workers. The interview process for those social workers started but was interrupted by the pause, so I expect that will continue shortly. We also expect to have 7 counselors who will be allocated to student services in the near future. The go ahead for that has been given, but again, because of the pandemic and mm-hmm. the personnel administration section, you know, doing so many different things, that has kind of halted the progress. But the interviews for the social workers started and are expected to continue soon. And then we expect to be recruiting 7 counselors as well. Because right now we don't have counselors in student services per se. Mm-hmm. We have 6 primary school counselors who are funded by the Sandy Lane Charitable Trust. And they're working in 24 of our primary schools normally. Mm-hmm. But in this dispensation, and again, let me say these 6 young ladies have been working exceptionally hard. They're providing hotline services for all primary schools. So even though they are usually attached to 24 schools, they are in this dispensation stretching and providing services for anyone who reaches out on the hotline. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the guidance counselors in secondary schools. Each school has at least 1 guidance counselor at this time. There are few who have 2. And so all of these support persons have been working exceptionally hard, trying to provide support for our families, for our students, for our schools. But there's never enough resources. We work closely mm-hmm. also with our partner agencies, the psychiatric hospital. We have been, you know, even closer in this dispensation. We've had to reach out to them several times. The community psychiatrist, the child guidance clinic psychiatrist, as well as the personnel at the child care board.
So the CY would love for you to come in at 11 o'clock. There's so much the ministry is doing, but what are some of the challenges? That's the good news, and I think that's fantastic. You're getting more social workers. You're getting more counselors. You've got a plan set up. I've seen some ads out there for various things with the ministry, how to get online, etiquette, and so on and so forth. But can I, as a parent, pick up a phone and call the ministry and say, look, I'm having some challenges with my coping with my special needs kid and getting online, and I need someone to talk to? Or do I have to go elsewhere because that falls under a different, like the hospital? Can I connect that with your ministry?
Most certainly. You mm-hmm. can call any of the numbers for student services. As I said, there's a counseling hotline. There is a general hotline number for student services. Mm-hmm. Our counseling hotline is 535-0756. 535-0756. Mm-hmm. If you need to speak to the psychologist, the number is 535-0849.
Okay.
And the general number is 535-0853. So you can call any of those numbers, and if you need assistance, and persons have been calling, and we, if it is not something that we can handle directly, we will pass you on. For example, you mentioned challenges with the online. The officers have been working with the ATCs at primary school, as well as the persons in the IT quality assurance section in the Ministry of Education to link families who have been having challenges with those experts, because we're not IT experts ourselves, mm-hmm. who will assist them in terms of the programming and the accessing of the different mm-hmm. platforms that
and it's for all parents and not necessarily people associating special needs children with the fact that they have to explain a little bit different to the parent. I am not saying that they're not some parents out there who require explanation, as I said, even and they have special needs children. But I really, I'm a little disturbed by the stigma I'm seeing where people are associating the fact with why give Mary or Jane with a special needs a device that they don't know how to use it, and then they go right back and go, the parents can't know how to use it either. And again, hopefully we can gradually dismiss that theory, because I have a special needs child. Yes, I'm not techno savvy, but I think I can still do a thing or two. But let's get to one call and then to Carrie Ann Eiffel, because I know she's there holding on. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. It's 12:54.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to your guest. I have one question.
12:52, my apologies. Go ahead.
I would like to know if our children with special needs are protected from corporal punishment in the educational system, because they cannot speak for themselves, they cannot explain to their parents what happened, and I think parents need to be, on the whole, more proactive, where they check their children every day, every single day, for any bruises on their bodies. And I just want to know that the children are protected.
Ministry, you want to answer that question? I should say.
What I would say is that, as far as I know, all students should be protected. The policy of the ministry is that the senior teachers and the principals are the only ones who are supposed to administer corporal punishment. And I do know that the view of the Minister of Education, she has made this abundantly clear on several occasions, almost from inception, is that students in special needs should not be punished using corporal punishment. So I would want to say that it is our thinking. Of course, I cannot say that it never happens, because I'm not at all schools at all times, but I do know that the ministry's perspective is that should not be allowed.
So is that written in a policy that it's not to happen?
The policy with regards to the senior teachers is written, but I do not believe that we have written that special needs students should not be disciplined using corporal punishment. I don't think that's written as yet. What I can say is that we have an inclusive education reform committee that Dr. Rock, who is here with us, sits on as well. We have had a break in meetings again because of all that has been going on in the pandemic, but we are tasked with putting things together in terms of inclusive education policy for Barbados going forward. And then there's also the Education Reform Committee that is chaired by Dr. Ida Mae Denny, mm-hmm. who is also looking at making sure all of these policies are put on paper. So that's an ongoing mm-hmm. process, but the thinking is that students with special needs should not be administered corporal punishment.
So basically at this point, we're working towards that. We know what the minister would like and strongly feels strong against that. But basically what the minister wants, I wasn't right in. So it means that someone senior or principal could still administer corporal punishment at this stage until we get it written in some sort of document and becomes policy. Is that correct?
Yes. The policies are being worked on as we speak.
Well, I'm hoping that it is sooner rather than later. Any more questions, caller? All right. Carrie Ann Eiffel, how are you? Sorry for keeping you waiting so long. Carrie Ann is the president of the Barbados Council of the Disabled. They are the sponsors of this program today. Carrie?